Hello, I'm a grateful believer in Jesus Christ, celebrating some victory over internet pornography and working on codependence. And my name is Jim. I appreciate you jumping the gun. I was slow on my delivery, but it's so good to see you all here tonight. I picked the right night to teach. It was chilly night, so we have a really good turnout. And the chili was awesome. So all of you that cooked, thank you very much. That was very much a blessing to be able to choose. I mean, choose between a lot of good stuff. So thank you very much. Well, welcome to the newcomers. We do, you know, if this is your first time here, welcome. And we hope you can start to settle in. Usually takes a few times. But don't worry if you don't know what's going on. Just follow along. What we do is every other week we do a teaching, and that's what we're doing tonight. And then the weeks in between we do testimonies. So 2 weeks ago, Jack taught on turn, and that was our acrostic that we used. It was the first time that we took a look at both Step 3 and Principle 3. And tonight's talk will build on what Jack talked about 2 weeks ago. A couple points just to go back to what happened 2 weeks ago. A couple things that Jack talked about. One was being transitional versus transformational. That this step is really meant to be transformational. Not just a slight transition in what we're doing, but a change in who we are and our relationship with Christ. And that it's a choice and not just chance. It takes our choosing. So let's start with the first principle three here. Consciously choose to commit all my life and will to Christ's care and control. And happy are the meek from Matthew 5:5. And step three, we made a decision to turn our lives and our wills over to the care of God. And the scripture is, therefore I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship, Romans 12:1. Couple things jump out to me. One is choice, and we'll talk about that some more. But all, the word all, and we're going to touch on that a little bit too, all of my life and my will. In getting to this principle, we've worked with God's help on the first two principles, and those were admitted that our lives were out of control, and we came to believe that God could restore us. So those are the first two principles. And that's what got us to this third principle. Even after we take those first two steps, though, with God's help, and admitted that our lives were out of control and that he could restore us, the cycle of failure can continue and keep us bound by guilt and anger, fear, shame, and depression. To get past this, we must go to action. Principle three is all about action. It states, consciously choose to commit. Making a choice requires action. We can put off making a decision. Sometimes it's easier to just go along with the crowd. Procrastination is a form of non-decision. Fear, what if I make the wrong choice? That often gets us stuck. Not deciding is a decision. Some examples. Not turning in a job application by the cutoff date. That's a decision not to apply. Not asking someone to marry you. This is a decision to stay single. Not making amends is a decision to stay stuck. Putting off the decision to accept Jesus Christ as your higher power, Lord, and Savior really is making a decision not to accept Christ. So principle three is like opening the door. All you need is willingness to make the decision, and Christ will do the rest. If we go to the first scripture passage, which says, Jesus said, here I am. Hang on, I'm going to put my reading glasses on. Here I am. I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with that person and they with me. That's from Revelation chapter 3, verse 20. Note what it doesn't say. He doesn't say, when you're without sin, then I'm going to do that. He doesn't say, when you're healed, when you feel strong, when your life is all put together, then I'm going to knock on the door. No. He says, open the door and I, Christ, will come in and eat with that person and they with me. Our part is simple. Turn the handle and open the door. So now we get to our acrostic. So you should have on your seat or near you one of these. And inside is the place to take notes. And you'll see action, the first letter to each of them. So I will cover them in more detail. So if you don't get them in this just quick flyby right here, I will highlight each one of them. So the first for A is to accept. The C in our acrostic is to commit. The T is to turn it over. The I is it's only the beginning. The O is one day at a time. And N is next step. Now, I know I went fast, so I'm going to go into each one of them, and it'll give you a chance to catch anything you might have missed. So the first A, or the only A, but the very first letter A, is accept. Jesus Christ is your higher power and Savior, making a once-in-a-lifetime decision to ask Jesus into your heart, a personal relationship, and now is that time. So if we go to Romans chapter 10, verse 9, God's word says, if you confess that Jesus is Lord and believe that God raised him from death, you will be saved. Note that word believe isn't more like, yeah, I think that's true. Belief is really putting trust in, right? So if I go for a very simple example, and that's one that Jack used, is we trust that drivers are going to follow the rules of the road. So when I go to a green light, I keep going. I don't stop because I assume everyone else, I trust that they're going to do that. It's always good to be cautious anyway, but that's a good example. So belief in Christ, that's that first passage. Once we make this decision, then we can begin to commit to start asking for and following God's will. That's the C in action. Trying to run our lives ourselves under our own power has proven to be less than successful, speaking for myself. So willpower becomes the willingness to accept God's power to guide our life. It's not like I'm doing it on my own. It's the willingness to say, okay, God, I need to let it go. And I get opportunities on a regular basis to practice this step because I'll find a couple things. One, I'm not sleeping at night, or find my breathing shallow and I'm trying to catch my breath. I don't know if you've ever experienced that. I'm like, what the heck is going on? And if I slow down and stop, I'm like, oh, I'm taking all of this on myself. And the very first step that helps me so much is to do the serenity prayer. Okay, God, help me to accept what I can't control, because there's a lot of things out of my control. My coworkers, my kids, you know, my wife, and what's going on for her, that's hers, and I can only take care of what's mine, right? So that's where I get stuck, and then I remember, well, yeah, God said he'll take that. Okay, so I don't need to hold on to it. I can let it go and trust that Christ will take that from me. The scripture for this is, teach me to do your will, for you are my God. May your good spirit lead me on level ground. And that's Psalm 143, verse 10. The next letter, T, stands for turn it over. We've heard, or many of us have heard the saying, let go and let God. It doesn't say let go of some things to God, or just the big things, but all things. So whether it's how I approach my work, whether it's the relationships that I'm in, whether it's even being here tonight, you know, trusting God that the right words will be said, that, you know, my heart is in a good place, that your heart is in a good place for openness. So the next scripture from Proverbs 3:6 says, "In everything you do, put God first, and he will direct you and crown your efforts with success." Everything you do. So Jesus Christ wants a relationship, not with just a part of you, not just with your intellect, not just with your Sunday church attendance, but every aspect of your life. So that's, for me, one of the challenges is, what are the areas that I'm holding back on? Because two things, God doesn't have the limitations I have. I'm kind of conditional sometimes in my love, not that I like to admit it, but I have good days, I have bad days. But no matter what I do, God's love and pursuit of me is constant, always, and infinite. So what burdens are you carrying tonight that you want to turn over to Jesus? Is it a stressful relationship? Is it your job? Do you have a child or a spouse that has a dependence on alcohol or drugs or pornography? Maybe it's a recent death of a loved one, a relative, a coworker that you care about. In Matthew 11, 28 through 30, Jesus says, "Come to me and I will give you rest. If you who work so hard beneath a heavy yoke," all of you who work hard so hard beneath a heavy yoke, "wear my yoke, for it fits perfectly, and let me teach you, for I am gentle and humble, and you will find rest for your souls. For I give you only light burdens. Come to me and I will give you rest." You work so hard beneath a heavy yoke. For me, I look at those things that I try to do on my own. Again, coming back to that, kind of the me-centric of like, I have to do this. Well, no, I don't. No, I don't. And Christ says, join me. And if you think about it, the reference to a yoke is two oxen being tethered together. Well, Jesus is going to do the hard work, and I just get to come along for the ride, right? I mean, that's pretty much what it is. And yet I'm pulling on a load that is way too heavy for me to be able to handle. The next letter in action is I, and that stands for "It's only the beginning." In the third principle, we make the initial decision to accept Christ as our personal Savior. Then we can make the commitment to seek and follow God's will. The new life that begins with this decision is followed by a lifelong process of growing as a Christian. Philippians 1, verse 6 puts it this way, "God who began the good work within you will keep right on helping you grow in his grace until his task within you is finished." That one's very helpful for me because I, like I say, I have good days and bad days. And when the bad days happen, I can wallow in that. I can wallow on my failures and my shortcomings, or I can rest in the hope that God gives us here, that he's going to continue to help me grow, continue to move me beyond where I am right now. It's a lifelong journey of growth, learning, love, and healing, and God is the one doing the work. Recovery is not just a three-principle program. We're on principle number three. It doesn't end here. It's just the beginning. A life we live in a new way, and that's one day at a time. The O in action stands for one, in one day at a time. We can be stuck in yesterday or worry about tomorrow, but we can't change yesterday. We can only heal and learn from it. So don't get stuck in yesterday. You're not your past mistakes. Guilt lets us know when we've done something wrong. I'll feel guilty when I've offended another, when I've been selfish. That's just God working in my conscience to say, hey, wake up here, you've crossed a line. But shame is saying, and that comes from the devil, shame is saying you're wrong. You, in your essence and who God created you to be, is wrong. And that's a lie. So as we look at this, and we go to the scripture passage, don't be anxious about tomorrow. God will take care of tomorrow. Live one day at a time, and that's Matthew 6:34. I think in my own recovery journey, one of the biggest areas of growth, both through step study, through small group, through accountability partners, and through my sponsor, and actually through one-on-one counseling, has been to really learn that lesson of what I was is not who I am today. And God is in the present moment. God's in the past and the future. God is beyond time. But he's in the present moment, and that's the only place I can be. I can't be something over here because it hasn't happened yet, and I'm not defined by what I did here. I need to learn from it. I have patterns sometimes I repeat, and I'm like, dang, why did I think I'd have a different result? I need to learn from that past, and what can I learn from it? What can I learn? Sometimes it's things as simple as in my formative years growing up, I had a hurt, and it didn't get healed. And so I act out of that hurt. I respond to people from that hurt. And until I get some time to pray, some time to offer it to Christ, allow for healing to occur and go through the process, sometimes more than once, then that hurt doesn't get healed. And so I can interrupt that pattern through Christ's healing. And that's really what it's about. Now I'm going to share a passage that many of you may have heard, but it just speaks so clearly to me, and that is the story of the prodigal son found in Luke 15. But first, just a little bit of a preamble. So at the start of chapter 15, now the tax collectors and sinners were all drawing near to him. And the Pharisees and the scribes murmured, saying, this man receives sinners and eats with them. So let's take it back to behold, I stand at the door and knock. That's Jesus, right? And sinners, well, that's me. So this is the leaders of the time griping about Jesus spending time with me. So he tells a couple of stories. The parable of the lost coin precedes it, the parable of the lost sheep. But the prodigal son is one that I think we can all learn from. And he said, there was a man who had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the share of property that falls to me. And he divided his living between them. And just a quick pause on that. So basically what he's saying is, I want your inheritance that I would deserve when you're dead. So I'd like it now. So in essence, Dad, I wish you're dead. It's very selfish, very self-centered, and very harsh as a father to receive. Not many days later, the younger son gathered all that he had and took his journey into a far country, and there he squandered his property on loose living. And when he had spent everything, a great famine arose in that country, and he began to be in want. So he went and joined himself to one of the citizens of the country, who sent him into his fields to feed the swine. And he would gladly have fed on the pods that the swine ate, and no one gave him anything. But when he came to himself, he said, how many of my father's hired servants have bread enough to spare, but I perish here with hunger? I will arise and go to my father, and I will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Treat me as one of your servants. And he arose and came to his father. And this is the part that really gets me. But while he was yet a distance, his father saw him and had compassion, and ran and embraced him and kissed him. And the son said to him, Father, I've sinned against you in heaven and before you. and I'm no longer to be worthy to be called your son. But the father said to his servants, bring quickly the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet, and bring the fatted calf and kill it. And let us eat and make merry, for this son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. And they began to make merry. Now, I'm not going to tell the end of the story because the older son has a little bit of an issue with it, but I really want to focus on the younger son. when I'm feeling self-righteous, then I need to be looking at myself as that older son. But in this particular case, you know, as I said, his offense against his father was great. Then he went to do it on his own. And like many of us, that's kind of how I got here in the door, trying to fill my life and avoid the pain that I was feeling inside and trying, you know, and when stress comes along, trying to fill it with empty things just led me spiritually starving, emotionally starving, and very disconnected. And all I wanted was to be, you know, connected to others. And so turning to God, if you remember in the passage, he didn't even have to get his speech out, right? As soon as he was a long way off, he was in sight. So what does that tell you in the story? It tells you that the father was looking for him the whole time. He was just waiting for him to come back. The first sign that he could see him on the horizon, he ran to him. Now, as a prideful father, I might be like, well, you get your butt over here, you know, because, you know, I'm still hurt. But that's not God. God's not that, right? And that's true of me in my life. Anytime I turn away in sin, God's just waiting for an invitation into that, to heal it, to rectify it. Okay, you probably thought I forgot the end, but no. The last letter in the end stands for next step. The next step is to ask Jesus into your life to be your higher power. Now, Jack covered this 2 weeks ago, and at that point in time, you might have just let the words wash over you and kind of take it in, but not ready if in your life you haven't yet accepted Jesus into your heart as your Lord and Savior. And for those of us who have, we can renew that. But Rick Warren came up with kind of an acrostic, imagine that, for the word BASE, B-A-S-E, which is, if you answer the following questions, do I believe Jesus Christ died on the cross for me and showed me he was God by coming back to life, raising from the dead? A, accept God's free forgiveness for my sins. It doesn't cost you anything. You don't earn it. It's a free gift. S, switch to God's plan for my life. And then E, express my desire for Christ to be the director of my life, to be the one that leads me. So if you're ready to take this step, in a minute we'll pray it together. If you've already taken this step, we'll use this prayer to recommit to continue to seek God and to follow God's will. So first let us pray. Dear God, there are some here that need to come to a decision to commit their life into your hands and to ask you to enter their hearts as Lord and Savior. Give us all the courage to silently do so right now in this moment. It's the most important decision that we can make. So if you pray with me, I'll say the phrase and you can repeat it in your heart. Dear God, I believe you sent your son Jesus to die for my sins so I can be forgiven. I am sorry for my sins, and I want to live the rest of my life the way you want me to. Please put your spirit in my life to direct me. We pray this in your name. Amen. So if you did make a decision to invite Christ into your life for the first time this evening, please come and let myself or Jack know so that we can pray with you and continue to help help you in your journey and your walk. This is just the beginning of a wonderful journey. So thank you.